Hello and welcome to Bergkamp and Land Radio Show. Yeah, we all feel like that, don't we? What a bag of fucking wank. Okay, join me tonight. I have Ellis Mel. Say hello, Ellis.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Yeah, don't carp into the shit out of it. Also tonight, I've got Danny the GFP. Say hello, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
In the chat box.
I thought you were going to ask me how I am. I was going to say, much like being locked up and having prison love and putting a brave face on it and pretending everything's all okay.
I really don't give a fuck how you are. Sorry. In the chat box, we have And235100, Archie, Daniel Cronin, Arsenic Gunner in case, Lossless, Pablo Amar, Loki73, did I say Archie? I think I did. Will O'Brien, Matt Sanasi, DK Druid, Matthew Wright, Jove82, Mark Holmes, the 27 Arsenal, My 25, Jack Armstrong, Pablo Amar, Dominic Mehigan, David Lancaster, I don't know. I'm losing the word. Arkan Tiger. Shut up. Arkan Tiger's there. Arkan's in Sydney, Australia. Hello, Arkan. I said Will O'Brien, have I? I don't know. I'm losing the words. Carly Duelguna. Timmy Toby A.N. Jay Gardner. Ahmed Saeed. Captain Wow the Second. Akib Alias. Akib's talking shit again already.
I've heard Captain the First.
Bradley Tucker. Stephen Edwards. Safo Kaya. Kieran 4215. Arsenal Amar. Oh, that's about it for now, guys. I'll try to get the rest of you later.
We have got some other guests, Jace. Look, you ready for this? Look there. That is the rest of AVW recording their thing with Raffi Honigstein. There's Chris and John and Gimli.
Yeah, I'm really not in the mood to be nice.
You better be nice. I know where you live, ish.
Mate, you don't leave the house. Come on. In any case, right, okay. Right, shut up. Fuck off. Just stop. Okay? Before we go...
What are they doing?
Fuck off!
Who?
Before we get into my... You, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to fucking enjoy you, yeah? Before we get into tonight's podcast, today we mark the funeral of Cyril Regis. Worth mentioning, obviously, as one of the first big black players in football, as was, him and many others like him took so much grief, you know, the utter abuse they took was phenomenal. And Cyril Regis always portrayed himself as he's a man of class. He was dignified and rose above it all. And from all of us here at ABW, you know, rest in peace, Cyril Regis. You know, you were a legend. You always will be a legend. And you were a credit to your family, to your clubs, and to everybody else you represented. Well done. You know, a great man passed us, unfortunately. Right, now onto the shit stuff. Ellis, lineups. What do you think of the lineup?
No real surprises. Obviously, it was good to see Mkhitaryan on the bench. I didn't think he'd start, to be honest. Team, until we found out that Nick was apparently ill, I thought Jack may have started, but other than that, it was pretty standard lineup for how we've been going up. Obviously, we didn't play.
I don't think you've got your Ethernet in, have you, Ellis?
Have. Look.
No, don't show me. That is breaking up terribly. Jason, we can't hear you. You're muted.
I'm muted. There's 158 people in here now, and this is car crash ABW. Just like the Arsenal performance.
It'll be okay.
Jesus, I honestly, guys, if you ever wanted to know what Kira or what it's like to do a podcast straight after a performance like that, stick needles in your genitalia and twist. This is how it feels. This is horrendous.
It's not good, is it?
What
can we do, though, guys? All we can do is put a brave front on and get on with it.
I'm going to cry. Right, Dan. Game kicks off. It's a really, really heavy pitch. Swansea early doors were counter-attacking just consistently. You had Ramsey tackling on the line. You had Elneny challenging us early doors. Key had a long-range shot. They just played deep straight from the off, okay? And they hit us on the counter and were really effective when they hit us on the counter. And each time our centre-halves are too wide apart, the midfield is giving no protection, same as usual. And do we learn?
No, we don't learn. It's the same old thing. Everyone just looked like they needed water wings out there. It was the pitch wasn't terrible, but it was very heavy, like you said. Every time you kick the ball, it's spraying up. And it was just the age old thing of can they do it on a cold, wet Tuesday night in the Welsh valleys? I don't know if it's in the valleys, but let's go.
It's on the coast.
Same thing. Yeah. Could they do it on the coast with all that? It was cold. None of them really looked like they were up for it. The only one who looked like they were up for it was Lacazette. And he was constantly running into space, constantly pointing to places. I lost count of the number of times that Lacazette did a layoff with someone, pointed somewhere, and then they'd go somewhere completely different. It looked like Bellerin was just trying to try and hit the left-hand side corner flag as often as he could. And they played in two really defensive banks. But when they went forward, they knew what they were doing. They had a plan, and their plan worked. Klukas was amazing. I always thought Klukas was a centre-back.
No. To be honest, Dan, I kind of disagree. I kind of think Lacazette was as shit as the rest of them tonight. I thought he was poor. I think he gave up at times.
I was watching him running off the ball. I mean, like if the ball was, and you could just see him on the edge of the screen, and he was running into spaces, and no one was giving him the ball. And even everyone's trying to do tricky 1-2s rather than just going, "Oh fuck, look, we're 1-1, or we're losing 2-1." Right, we'd have to go long ball. At no point did we go long ball.
I'm going to come to that a bit later. Ellis, you know, we've seen after Swansea's early chances, up comes it will be at a shot. Fabianski get a good save, and Monreal pops up. Same, you know, third goal in three games, comes up around the back. And what a finish. He pokes that ball in. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, I think up until that point, I wouldn't say Swansea dominated us, but we didn't really create much at all. It was sort of getting frustrating. Like you said, they set up sort of to sit deep and just on the counter. And up until that point, they were doing quite well. It just took a bit of magic from Mesut Ozil to find Monreal at the back post. And Monreal at the moment, he's just doing so well. If there is any sort of shining light in our current form. The form's not doing too bad until today, really, but I think it's quite telling when the most dangerous person on the pitch in that game, but that's besides the point. But yeah, it was a good goal, Monreal, good finish. And to me as well, I think Mesut Ozil was quite poor. I think that was probably the only real thing that he did in that game. Other than that, like Danny was mentioning, a lot of tippy-tappy trying to play 1-2s, trying to like just play it off each other, and it wasn't really coming off passing sideways, really hand. And the one sort of time we did sort of put a ball, we got a goal from it, and it didn't really happen after that until Giroud came on the pitch, and then we started to put a few more crosses in. But until that, it literally just passing the ball around, probably sort of banks of four against Swansea and not really getting anywhere.
Yeah, it was a lot of horse shit, wasn't it? Dan, no sooner has Monreal scored than Klukas equalises. Mesut loses the ball on the right-hand side. I don't know who picked it up for Swansea, but they pass through to Klukas. Xhaka's just fucking stood there. He's just stood there. He's just watching. Koz just doesn't handle it. And Klukas, great finish, to be fair to him, 1-1. In the build-up to that play, was Mesut kicked? Was it a foul on Mesut? And just how poor was our defending?
Well, it was on the left-hand side of the pitch. And as
on our right-hand side, Swansea left.
was it?
Yeah.
I can see the picture now. He grabbed hold of Mezut's shirt, and he had it for quite a long time. And I think if Mezut would have gone down as soon as he pulled the shirt, then maybe the referee would have stopped play. But he carried on going, and then he did his little roll. No, I'm sure it was on the left-hand side. They were shooting that way. Yeah. And then Xhaka's on the edge of the box, and Xhaka just goes, I'm Xhaka. This is what I do. I don't do anything. I don't want to. Don't want to give the ball. I mean, I don't want to make a tackle. I don't want to possibly take a give away a penalty. And I think it was one of their defenders. It might have been Mawson who did the ball through to Klukas. And Klukas took it brilliantly. I mean, I think even he was surprised that he got through that easily. Because you think you've got a big hulking lump like Xhaka. He's going to make some attempt to try and stop you. And he just went, no, I'm not going to do that. And he has done that far too many times this season. And if the whole of the Arsenal sphere can see that Xhaka just, he isn't bothering to do it. Very rarely does he do anything right. And I had so much hope for Xhaka. Xhaka should be hoofed out the team right away and have Kolasinac put in there. At least Kolasinac doesn't mind getting stuck in. But I sometimes wonder why Xhaka does these things. I know that last season he had a couple of sendings off, and maybe he's thought, well, they've got it in for me, or maybe I can't play my style of football, because he was known for his red cards for the national team, and especially for Borussia Mönchengladbach 2 seasons ago when he was there and he was their captain. But he played brilliantly. But I don't know what his problem is, and I don't even know why Wenger keeps playing him. There's other players that can play in that position, because if you have continuous games of his opta rating tonight was a 6.2, and I think that was being generous. I mean, he should have had a minus points for just standing there and let them go through. I mean, Kolasinac was on the bench. You could see. I mean, imagine Maitland-Niles playing in the Xhaka role. Xhaka doesn't have to do the defending role because Elneny is there covering the back two. So maybe Maitland-Niles, he's probably sitting on the bench going, well, I'm not even coming on as a sub. What the hell is this moron doing on the pitch? Oh, it's just crazy. There's so many things going wrong with the team at the moment. And poor old Mkhitaryan's probably thinking, oh, what the hell have I come to here? And if Aubameyang's watching this tonight, he's going to be back on that plane, and everyone can track him on the plane finder app, and he'll be back off to Germany as quick as you can say boo. Rang.
Oh, yeah, well, no comments. Ellis, your thoughts on this now, because obviously it's not the first time with Xhaka. He's just stood there. Is it a case of it's a lack of, you know, that the kind of mobility? You know, he's a bit flat-footed, or is this another one in a long line of just can't be bothered?
I don't know. He crazes me, Xhaka, because he gets a lot of criticism, and I've tried for, like, since we've signed him to sort of stick up for the play, but I've really sort of lost my patience with him this season. I think a lot of it's got to do with how performing, and you sort of just get a bit more of a short fuse when you're already playing bad, and then a particular player just can't seem to find any form. But we know his strengths. He's good at sort of pinging the ball out to people, but one of his weaknesses is that he is just a bit slow, and in the Premier League, when players get past him, they're just gone and they leave him. And he can sometimes, him and Ramsey or even the midfield partner, and sometimes Jack will leave a gap there. And let's be honest, even though Ramsey's got a good engine on him, Elneny's got a good engine on him, Jack Wilshere has got like a short burst of pace, no one in that midfield is particularly fast. So if Jack is letting people run past him, the other guys aren't going to catch up to him. And he just has these moments of sort of just little mini brain farts where he just does the silly thing, or he just switches off for a second, or he dawdles on the ball a bit too long. We were having a little chat about this in our little WhatsApp chat, and someone mentioned that it's just been played in the wrong system. And I think it's a bit of that and a bit of the player himself. Like, I think a lot of it boils down to, you can see what his strengths are and you can see what his weaknesses are. So you need to either find a system that suits him or drop him out of the team if he doesn't fit the system you want to implement. At the moment, neither of those things are happening. It's frustrating, and I think he could do a lot better. I think if he had like another midfielder with a bit more energy and pace about him, you could do all right. But yeah, it's just the same. You can see it with Iwobi as well. He's not performing well, and he's in the team week in, week out.
Yeah, but the problem is, Ellis, and I'm going to come to this now, okay? If you look at a setup tonight, the centre-halves and nowhere near each other, okay? Nowhere near each other. The midfield three, okay? You've got Ramsey further up the pitch. You've got Elneny and Xhaka all over the place as well, okay? There's no actual symmetry. There's no actual shape to how we are off the ball, let alone on the ball. So no matter what system we play, if the guys are not going to be disciplined, And this goes throughout the team, to be fair. It's not just Xhaka, it's not just Elneny, it's not just the centre-halves. Okay, but none of them were disciplined in the way, you know, in our formation. You know, we're never going to be effective defensively, are we?
No, not at all. And I can't remember what game it was now, but I think it may have been the last radio show I came on when we lost 2-1 to Bournemouth. And one of their goals, all three players seemed to be drawn towards whoever whipped the ball in for the Bournemouth team on the wing. And there was no one in the box. And the player just ran across Callum Chambers and poked the ball in. It's like you say, it's not just Xhaka. A lot of people were poor today. A lot of people, I couldn't really pick out anyone except from Nacho Monreal who can hold his head up. But even he was a bit ill-disciplined in defence. And I don't know how you fix it. There's no way you get another manager in and see if you coach it there. But at the same time, the players also have to take responsibility. The manager can coach them and can set them up and put them on the pitch. But if they switch off, that's down to them.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I'm seeing a lot of people getting, you know, in the chat box here. They're all going for certain the players they don't like them, have you? That's fine. But, you know, let's be honest, this happened against Bournemouth, this happened against WBA, you know, these things continue to happen. It doesn't matter what's on the pitch or who's on the pitch, it's the same shit each time, okay? You know, Danny, end of the first half, these are my notes here, turgid, more pissy-passy, yeah, no shape of the midfield, no shape of defence, no cohesion with attack, and no pace to our game whatsoever. What were your thoughts on the first half?
Oh, dear. Well, you look at it, and sometimes you think, do these people remember that we're now playing a back four? Because Bellerin was hoofing forward. Monreal, like Ellis said, was our best player. He's hoofing forward. Then that leaves Mustafi and Koscielny at the back. And you think, well, hold on, no. If you're going to play four at the back, then the two wing-backs need to be more disciplined. Or if one of them is going to go forward, then Elneny or Xhaka, oh, God forbid, Xhaka, needs to drop back into the defence just to cover them, to still make sure that you've got four people. And it was just so sloppy. You saw with the Monreal, throw-in, he was going, oh, what do I do with it? You need to have an understanding, right? If you're going to get a throw-in, someone, two people run to him. And if there's a player on you, you give it to the other player. You don't just go, oh, go on then, someone have it. Oh, no, look, he's got it. Oh, no, you do a pass back. No one is the back there. Just imagine, we say this all the time as old Arsenal fans, imagine if Tony Adams was in that defence. First of all, he wouldn't let anybody just do a useless throw-in like that. He'd have been shouting and screaming. And then before, Tony Adams in games has actually gone up to his own players and grabbed them and shook them. There was nobody there with any kind of cohesion, any kind of like, oh, we need to do this. This is going on. Everybody must be, remember in the old days, we used to say when we had Almunia in goal, we used to go, oh, you know that at any moment he's going to fuck up and let something in. It seems like the defence like that at the moment. They're paranoid that Cech is going to fuck up and let something in. And Cech did fuck up. He got an opta rating of 4.9. One of the greatest players and goalkeepers in Premier League history. And he's having a fucking nightmare. Go on.
Hold up here, Dan. Okay, we'll come to that in a second because I've got to be honest with you. Yeah. I see a lot of grief coming Czech's way at this moment in time. You know, I've got a bit of a different angle on that, and we're going to come to that. You know, the second half, you know, it's still turgid. We've got Elneny taking on for the team with a yellow card for the handball, stopping the counter. You've got an Ozil shot, which is just, you know, it's piss weak.
Was that the one that went about 30 foot over the bar?
No. I can't even remember. It's that bad. You know, we're in defence, you had Elneny, you have a hand to the face, just sitting down. Goes to sit down around him, you know, and it's obvious he's trying to buy a free kick. As they were closing us down, when we had possession in our half, okay, as they closed us down, as we moved the ball away from that and beat the press, instead of a quick ball through the middle, it was again more turgid passing. You know, one of the commentators mentioned Swansea are just pressuring us to put the ball on the centre halves all the time, and we weren't moving it quick enough. So we didn't move the ball quickly enough at any point in the game. And that's a bit of a problem for us. Ellis had to speed the game up. And this problem, again, you know, this goes back to pre-Southampton. where we can't speed the pace of the game up. We can't get things moving. Are there for this team if we're not prepared to speed up the passing and play a bit more of a direct ball in at times?
Well, to be brutally honest, not much. If you can't change from plan A to plan B or even have a discernible plan B, then you're going to come to these games where you do come stuck because people know Arsenal are only going to play this way and they can't do the other type of football, or they won't do the other type of football. So we can pretty much sit back, defend and stop them from scoring goals and hope a bit of luck comes our way, which, let's be honest, there was a bit of luck for Swansea's, at least two of Swansea's goals. There's a bit of luck there for them. And then we can nick either a point or 3 points, and it's happened to them. It's the same old thing. It's like a script every time. You can sit there, you get the script out. Arsenal will have a lot of possession. Whoever the other team are will sit back, wait for the counter, wait for a mistake, which inevitably going to happen from an Arsenal player, and then hopefully get a goal or two and nick one or 3 points. And it happens. I'm on and time again, and it's frustrating. And I get what you say, that they even the same, like just speeding the play up a bit more. And it did slightly happen when Mkhitaryan came on. I think it was Wobe that ended up having the shot, and he just took it. And everyone was like, well, it's a bit of a shit shot, but at least he's trying something. At least there was some quick zipping passing there. But that was completely missed for the whole of the game. And it's the same thing that you hit the nail on the head earlier, pissy passing. It is pissy passing. There's no penetration there. It's sideways. We'll get to one corner. Well, there's nothing really on. We'll get to the other corner. And sometimes people are whipping in crosses. They did start to come in when Drew came on the pitch. But before that, people are whipping in crosses when a Lacazette's the only one in there. And let's be honest, his runs off the ball weren't great today. And I don't know if it's a fact that he's got frustrated that he's making the runs and not being seen. But it just gets to the point where you just think, just put a cross in. Like, this sort of passing sideways isn't working. Just put a cross in or try and go over the top or try and do something. And there was no sort of, like I said, plan B, no change of pace, no change of tactic. It was just the same shit. And we're used to it. It's the same thing over and over again. And it needs to change. There needs to be some sort of work on the training pitch about, right, if we can't like pass room, then we need to go over the top or we need to put crosses in. Like, we take the piss out of people like Manchester United when they just bring on Fellaini and just lump up there. But sometimes they get points from that. We don't have an option like that. We should have. Obviously, Giroud might go. There's talks of him leaving and going to Chelsea. But we do have a player that you can play that type of ball to on a bench and you can bring on and change it. And I will say it did slightly change, but it took a while for him to actually start whipping balls into the box. And from doing that, we did have half chances, and half chances can quickly turn into proper chances, but they didn't. And it didn't happen because we're just used to playing the same turgid way, and it's grinding players down. And the difference is, like, you could, the contrast between the Swansea players and the Arsenal players was just black and white. You've got Swansea who are defensively sound. They're sitting back. They're working for each other. When they win the ball, they're all running up. Like, we'll probably get on to check in a bit, but when he miskicks that ball, there are three Swansea players all pressing in.
Yeah, I'm going to come to that in a second. I'm going to disagree with you on one main point.
Go on, then.
There was no luck in the Swansea goals. They earned them. They hustled us, okay? They hustled us. They made it life uncomfortable for us, and we played into their hands. There was actually no luck there.
So
we
got Czech complete miskick and it isn't lucky.
No. Okay, let's go to the Czech goal then, okay, guys? And I'm going to come to Danny, then I'm going to come back to you, Ellis, okay?
Right.
So for the RU goal, right on, the ball's coming down our left-hand side of the pitch, the Swansea right-hand side, okay? He's not closing down, but he's there on Monreal. Monreal has time to play the ball. He has time to play that ball. Right? Where are the centre-halves? Where's the midfield? Where are his options? Okay? Instead, Nacho Monreal lets the fucking ball run out of play. And it's fairly obvious, you know, I've heard Pulis talk about in the past where you should always have a plan for a throw-in. Okay, so you've always got a plan. You should never take a throw-in where it's rushed, where you're unsure of what you do. There should be players around you. Monreal takes the throw-in to Mustafi. Now, the pitch is horrendous. It's not horrendous, but it's really, really heavy. It's really heavy. There are Swansea players in the area. You know they're going to close down. You know they are. And yet he still plays the back pass to Cech. Right? Cech is under pressure straight away. And no offence, okay, but Cech isn't the first keeper to miskick a ball. even as John Wells said in the group, Gigi Buffon has done it. So from the whole point of this goal, right, the first mistake is letting that ball go into touch. Where are Monreal's options? Where are Monreal's options, Danny?
There needs to be people. Like I said, you need to run up to him. And whenever you're going to get a throw in, there's going to be the opposition players who are going to try and crowd you. They've got to keep, is it 10 feet or 10, probably 10 yards back, isn't it? And so then you've got to have, even if you do a 1-2, then pass it further up the field. But if you were like Serbo Rasic has made a few comments in here about the state of the pitch. Not a bad pitch, but it's so waterlogged. No, not even waterlogged, so wet, that if you kick the ball, you don't know whether the ball's going to skim across the top of the surface, or whether it's going to dig in, or whether it's going to, you can go absolutely anywhere, which is why when Bellerin, I counted about five or six times that Bellerin was doing corners, was crossing from the right-hand side. Some were going really short, some were going all the way long, and it's the same thing with Czech. You don't know where the ball's going to be. So best don't put him in that position. We did quite so many back passes today in the game, and I thought, I'm just glad, like the old days we'd have, you could pick the ball up from a back pass. And you've put Czech in a position there. And this has happened quite a few times this season where the defenders have passed back to him and then he's had to make a rash, kick it out, and then it's gone out for a throw-in for them. But yeah, you're right. They shouldn't put him in that position, but there was nobody there. But this is where we should have one of the three central midfielders that we had on and off, whether it be Elneny, Xhaka or Ramsey. They should run up there, and so then the central defenders don't have to get out of position. You can't have Bellerin doing it because he's on the right-hand side. In fact, Monreal shouldn't even be the one taking the throw-in. It should be maybe one of the midfielders coming on, then giving it to Monreal. Then Monreal can pass it around and give it to somebody else. But there's just people standing there going, oh, I can't be bothered. Can you be bothered? Oh, I can't be bothered. Oh, fuck it. He'll be all right on his own. Well, what could possibly go wrong? That's what they're thinking, the morons.
Well, this is the truth of the matter, Kieran. You know, we just didn't fancy this tonight, did we? You know, I see in the chat box, we miss so-and-so, we miss so-and-so. Bollocks. It doesn't matter who we'd have put up that pitch tonight, we would not have won this game. We would not have won this game. I've seen this happen so often. Each and every time I come on here after a performance like this, okay, it's the same old story. It was Bournemouth the other day, okay. You know, New Year's Eve, we had to watch the WBA game. And yes, okay, it's never a penalty, but we should have won the game by then, you know. We didn't do enough. We've got no goal-scoring threat. It doesn't matter who you're playing at the moment. And in defence, you know, we're shambles. Elneny, by this point, was off. Mkhitaryan is on, you know. He was playing a deeper role. I didn't understand that at all. But again, Ellis, back to you on this on the Ayew goal. Where are the options for Monreal? Why is he playing it out? Why didn't he just hoof it up the park? Okay, you know, what's your thought process behind this? Because I think it's very easy to blame Czech, but if you've got no defence in front of you, this sort of thing is going to happen. And to be fair, I'll be honest with you, my honest opinion on this is a cheap shot on Czech. When you look at the way we've defended as a team, and I mean as a team, from the midfield right the way back, you know, from the front, actually, right the way back, we've been awful tonight. So how we're going to pin this on Czech, I'm not sure.
With Czech, like you said, goalkeepers can miss kick the ball. It happens. Obviously, professionals should be able to ball properly, but it's a clusterfuck before then, afterwards, before that even gets to him. It is a massive clusterfuck. Like I said, there's no options there for Monreal. Again, I come back to it's complete contrast with Swansea. They're moving for each other, giving each other options. They're pressing, they're working well as a team. Our guys, if you watch this game back and you just focus on the movement off the ball from our players, it's borderline non-existent. There are so little movement from our players. There's no sort of helping each other out. Once someone loses the ball, I think someone lost the ball. I can't remember who the specific player was, but we're pushed up like we always do. It's time second half on both Mustafi and Kashona were right pushed up. The ball turned over and the person who lost the ball trotting back and then one person trying to run back and cover for those two players, the cast. And it just simply goes down to that. Like you said, they weren't up for it. Swansea were up for it. Swansea worked hard for each other. They deserve to get... I will say, like, it is a bit lucky. I know you're going to disagree with me, but besides the point, they deserve to win just for the pure effort that they put in. We didn't. Our players didn't put that effort in. No one put in the effort to help each other out, to track back, to make space for each other.
But Ellis, you know, you say it's a bit lucky, but they saw the pitchers heavy, they saw the back passes come in, and they closed him down. You make your own luck in this game. You know,
I'm disagreeing. I'm just saying the element of luck is the fact that Cech miskicks that. If he puts his foot for that, they don't get a goal.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But like they've made that situation by pressing. I can agree with you. I'm not trying to take anything away from Swansea. They deserve the win.
Yeah. Dan, you know, not long afterwards, we have Dyer misses a really good effort. Ball comes in. Mustafi heads it across his own goal into his way, into Dyer's path. Okay. Now, you know, I like Shockdam Mustafi.
Brilliant.
But my God, he doesn't half have a clanger in him at times, does he?
Yeah, you'd think, like when I was saying the Tony Adams bit, shouting and screaming, I know Koscielny is the captain, but Mustafi is the one I look to be the shouter, the screamer, the pointer, the you effing do that properly. Yeah. And tonight he didn't seem to do any of that. And like that lapse in concentration where he just drifted the ball over, you think, oh, well, what are you doing? That was that at 1-1? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, yeah. This is at 2-1.
Was it?
Sorry, I've lost you there. I do apologize. Carry on.
Yeah, it might have been. The whole game is all blurred into one. I have to watch the highlights to know exactly what happened at what point. But I do remember that point. And I'm thinking, well, what's making you come to that conclusion where you think that's a good idea? Like some of the passing back and some of the throw-ins and the dodgy decisions like that. They're just all you can make a couple of these mistakes per game, but you cannot keep making these mistakes all the way through the game. And then the next game, everyone's going to be starting in the same positions again. Wenger won't make any difference with it. And like everyone knows, Steve Bould isn't allowed to do any of the defensive coaching. And you're thinking, well, how's anything going to change? There is obviously a massive problem. Like we could sign Maradona and Pele up front. It would still make no difference because all the ones at the back are still going to bloody let in all the goals. I mean, I can't remember the last time that we had this many defensive clangers in a season. We're only halfway through it. And we've lost 7 Premier League games already. I mean, what the fuck is going on? And no one is going to be accountable for this.
Infuriating. It's one of those things, Ellis. We saw Arsene on the sidelines getting really annoyed. Obviously, there was an issue on the pitch where people weren't doing what he wanted to do. But you know, Arsene is the one common denominator in these performances. Looking at this game, he brings on Mkhitaryan. He takes off Iwobi, and you know, it's pointless. I'm going to go to Iwobi tonight. You know, or any individual, because as a team, Evan, we were shite. It was an embarrassing, shameful performance. We didn't close down from the top. You know, as soon as they turned over the ball, we turned over the ball in their half, bang, they're two passes and they're down and they're putting pressure on us. And, you know, if you're going to defend well, if you look at our best performance of the season, and by a magic mile, you know, there's no other performance that comes close to the Tottenham game, okay? Where we started, you know, we defended from the top. You know, you had Lacazette. I know Sanchez is gone now, but everybody was effective in closing down, in making sure nobody, you know, people didn't have time on the ball to spring counterattacks. All that's gone out the window recently. You know, and it doesn't matter who you put in. It doesn't matter what formation we play. You know, one good performance and then it's back to this. What is your opinion on this? You know, is it that the players are letting Wenger down or is it that Wenger's letting the players down?
Swansea, 1-3 and 5, where bottom of the league is still our bottom of the league.
Try leaving the call and coming back in again. See if that does anything.
I'm going to come to you then, Dan. Okay, yeah. You know your opinion on this. You know, has Arsene lost the dressing room? Are the players letting him down, or is it vice versa?
Well, isn't it a sign of a manager when you keep changing the tactics, and it's not necessarily because of the players that are available. And there's players that we all want to see, like Kolasinac, who's going to go out there and he's going to have some passion. He's going to get stuck in, and that's the kind of thing that we want. So is it the usual? Everybody knows that Wenger is stubborn, whether it comes to his transfer policy or whether it's come to his endless failed youth policies. And it seems like, ironically, at the moment, the youth policy is actually working really well and we're getting some really decent young players coming through. Or whether it's his stubbornness on not buying the players that we need. And like I said, just ironically again, we are getting in some of the players that we need. In fact, we're getting too many of the other players that we've wanted for years. How many years have we cried out for a pacey striker or someone who's a goal poacher? And we've wanted those for years and we haven't had them. And finally, we're getting that some of these things are coming through. But Wenger seems to go, oh, no, no, I'm going to change the tactics to this. No, I'm going to change the tactics to that. And then, oh, we're not going to go out there with a game plan. Now that...
Harjan Singh, if you're spamming my box, you'll be fucking out of there. Toot sweet. Behave yourself. Oh, carry on, sorry.
Right, the Swansea manager, he has come. He's just recently got fired from Sheffield Wednesday because they're mid-table in the Championship. I mean, you don't get fired from there and then come straight back in and manage a team like Swansea, who are bottom of the league, if you don't have some kind of ability to sort out the defence. Because that's what George Graham used to always say. You sort out the defence and then you work your way forward. They've beaten Liverpool and now they've beaten us, and they looked solid. They looked organised. They had a plan. Every player knew what they were doing. And when we were attacking, they were defending in like, they had a back five, and then they had a four. Then they had a one, and even the one was going back and defending with them, and everybody knew what they were doing. And it seemed like they were going, right, if we do this and we stick to this all night and we don't give up and we defend for our lives, and then they're just going to do the same old thing. We're going to wear them down, and this Arsenal are going to give up, and then they're going to not have a plan B. In fact, the only plan B we have is about to fuck off to Chelsea. And it's just ridiculous. And we could all see it happening. I mean, I saw, when they scored that first goal, I thought, oh, fuck, here we go. It's all falling apart. And that's what it did. And I know nothing about football. I've never done anything in football in my bloody life. And it was fucking obvious what was going on.
It is one of those things, isn't it, where, you know, we look at this, and to be honest, exactly the same as yourself. You saw the equaliser go in initially and you just thought, oh, here we go again. An old story. Ellis, are you back? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to give you one last chance.
I don't know what's worse, my internet or Arsenal's performance.
I think they are on a par. If both they got rid of.
we saw Mkhitaryan when the few time, well, actually maybe the only time all game, other than the Monreal goal, where somebody attacked the box and it was Mkhitaryan. He missed the chance. He was called offside anyway. But it just struck me that, you know, we weren't getting... we weren't getting runners in the box, okay? Lacazette didn't do it. You can say he worked hard, but to be honest with you, you know, if I'm going to give a player rating to each and every player, each and every single one of them gets dog shit, okay? You know, that's how bad we were tonight as a team, and there were no exceptions, none. But you look at that, it's the first time I saw somebody, making a run into the box for somebody to put something in on. Okay, it didn't come off, but at least it showed a little bit of ambition. That's the only bit of ambition I saw during the game. What were your thoughts on it?
He put him off. The fuck have I got myself into? And there was a point when he whipped the ball into the box and sort of the Arsenal players turned around and said, what's this? What is this sort of mad new tactic there?
The Norwich weather has got the better of you.
Yeah, sorry, pal. Nah.
Goodbye.
Ta-da, pal. See you. Good night. Cheers. Right. We've banned a lot of people from the chat box before now, but we've never chucked somebody off the podcast. It's a new one.
Well, it's better than, because people are going to have to listen back to this on iTunes, and when it's audible only, people can't put up with it. I turned the podcast off last night because of it.
Thunder Roads, just put in the chat box, Brexit Ellis.
He's in the middle of nowhere in the Norwich area, and he's not known for his fantastic internet, and it is really bad weather around here at the moment. There's really bad rain.
Okay, don't make excuses for him. He's a git. Sorry, okay? He can't be bothered.
He went full Wenger.
He can't be bothered.
Ellis out.
Oi, if he can't be bothered, sort his internet out. That's not my problem, and he will pay.
He will pay.
Sorry about that, listeners. We are struggling tonight as a club and as a podcast.
they've rubbed off on us.
Dan, the Klukas goal, the third goal. What is Monreal trying to do? What is he trying to do?
We were just getting the laptop that a wonderful listener's paid for, getting that set up to record the Rafi Honigstein interview that they're doing now. And I had the audio on, but I had the microphone turned off. And all I heard, I wasn't watching the game, all I heard was John screaming, oh no, what have they done? Oh, fucking typical Arsenal. And then I looked around at the screen and I saw the replay, but I can't remember much about the goal. So I thought, fuck it, this is a great opportunity to go and get the show ready, which is why we were ready so soon after the game. So I don't really remember the goal. Talk me through it, Jace.
A ball comes over the top. Hold up, yeah, sorry. 09. Oh, you're doing my fucking tits in as well. You can fuck off.
Moise in.
I don't know. Oh,
dear. Oh, you've timed him out. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, my block button's gone. I want my block button back.
That's it?
Yeah, my block button's gone. You've been messing about. So if you don't give me that block button back, okay, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Remove is there. I think that's the one you... All I've got is...
I don't know. I haven't got... Oh, no. Either. Read and delete is back. Read and delete. Take care. You don't come in here and ask for advice on girlfriends. We just... we're that sad we're doing this.
I think
on
you
a
have
Tuesday
to click
night.
On it, Jason. Put hired user on this channel. I think they've changed it. That's all you can do now.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go on the bloody internet out.
Oh, right. Dear.
Okay. So look, yeah, the ball comes over the top, and it's some sort of ballerina move from Monreal, which, you know, it's wet, it's horrible. Yeah, most of the time it'll come off for him, but on this occasion, I thought Monreal had other than the goal, had a stinker today. And we were talking him up after the Chelsea game, but, you know, Klukas gets through on goal, bang, no mistake. You know, it was just an absolute clusterfuck, wasn't it?
What do you think about the positioning that Mkhitaryan played in? Because I was trying to take note of that, because I don't just watch where the ball is. I try and watch as much stuff going off screen as well. Now, I thought the movement from Mkhitaryan's really good, because I think at one point Iwobi was over on the right-hand side and Mkhitaryan then went off to the position of where Iwobi was playing behind Lacazette. And then when he was moved back again, he was going back into midfield. In that time he got stuck in, didn't he? And he really got stuck in. I think he actually gave away a free kick from... a foul for getting stuck in. I mean, he went after the ball about three times to this person and got really, and I thought, that's lovely. He's got a hell of a beak on him, though. I thought he's going to whack him with his beak. And he was offside, and he missed the goal from the offside, but I wasn't sure if it was his knee or his nose that was offside, because they both stuck out quite a way.
He was well offside, mate. He's well offside.
Was his nose offside or just all of him?
All of him.
Because I think I was watching an American version of it. So I was pretty pleased with him. I thought he looks good, but a few people were saying, why wasn't he playing behind the main striker? I mean, from that game, if you come to the conclusion of what his position is going to be at Arsenal, is he a Sanchez replacement? Because I don't think he is.
To be fair, Dan, from this game tonight, I don't know who was playing what position, okay? I genuinely, you know, you could have put the Titanic in between our centre-halves. Our midfield, you know, that little triangle we went from a midfield three... Well, my God, that was all over the place. It was one of those moving triangles, you see. But, you know, what really saddened me after the third goal, you know, as time's running down, instead of, you know, being a bit more direct, we're still pissy passing about, time running out. You know, there was a lack of conviction with us tonight, and that really disappointed me. What we're going to do now, guys, obviously with Ellis leaving, we're going to go to some questions because I'm totally bereft of any joy in my life right now.
I mean, he even took
all my...
He gave up on the covering the back too. He gave up on it. He went, oh, come on, son, off you get. I thought, Elneny's the one, if out of any of them. But... Elneny wouldn't have been the first person I'd have taken off.
I got to be honest. He wouldn't have been my... But Dan, he wouldn't have been my first person to take off either. But in all honesty, I genuinely don't think it affected the game that much, because I don't think anybody played well. Will O'Brien asks, and I'm going to answer this one. He says, Jason, what are your thoughts on Ramsey tonight? Ineffective. The same as everybody else. You know, there was nobody there tonight who was, it was effective. And, you know, with Ramsey, there are a couple of nice touches. There's one great tackle at the beginning of the game. But other than that, there's nothing.
Can he use the coming back from injury excuse?
To be honest, Dan, okay, this is more symptomatic of the team issue rather than individual players. Because from the top, from I'm going to come back to your question, Steve. Sorry, but from the top, you know, we weren't Lacazette. You know, he looked as if he gave up at one point. You can see the frustration just coming through, and that frustration has been building up for a long time. Ozil was, well, you know, he created nothing. You know, our £40 million man who wants hundreds of thousands of pounds a week created nothing. You had Hector and Nacho being, well, you know, Nacho, to be fair, scored, but I mean, other than that, they were poor. Xhaka, you know.
Again, Xhaka, and why does he seem to be so quick to keep playing? Like Steve was just saying, Xhaka and Iwobia have probably been our two worst players constantly this season when they've been playing. And what has to happen and for them to be dropped?
I've got to be honest with you, Keira. I do agree that, you know, they haven't been great recently. But in all fairness, tonight, it wasn't just them. It was throughout the team. You know, it was throughout the team. This is more of a setup. I think Carvajal did Wenger tactically tonight.
Mm, yeah. He's a championship manager.
Well, no, I don't think he's a championship manager. I think he's a better manager than that. But, you know, as with any manager, it works for you at certain clubs. You know, the setup, the players are right for you. You know, if you look at sort of Lacazette tonight, okay, race with Fernandez. Fernandez just beat him with a foot race, no problem whatsoever. So we've got no pace to attack the ball. You had one point where a cross came in when Ollie was on the pitch. Ollie's in the 6-yard box. He didn't attack the cross coming in. And you had Lacazette further back, you know, at the edge of the box, so to speak. We've got a lack of structure there. We've got a lack of style of playing. It's express yourself, express yourself, express yourself. But when teams are well organised against us, they just do well. You know, Swansea deserved that tonight, hands down. It's sad to say, but they did. You know, so how do you change it? Well, you've got to have, you know, these are Arsene Wenger's players. So he has to find a structure to enable them to settle down, to start playing effective, competitive football. You know, I know we're fifth at the moment. We're 5 points off the scum. They've got a game in hand. We're in a cup final. We're out the FA Cup and we got the Europa Cup. We've still got an awful lot to play for.
We're sixth, but luckily we're 8 points ahead of Leicester in seventh.
But, you know, let's be honest, Keirado. We can still win a couple of trophies.
Hopefully. But far away form. Played 13, won 3, drawn 4, lost 6. Scored 15, conceded 21. And out of the teams that we've played, we haven't beaten any of the bottom 8 teams away from home. I mean, that is shocking. How can a team be so bad there? We're the 9th best team in the league on the way, and we're the 3rd best at home. That's almost like 2 different teams. How can you be that different?
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, I know he switched from back 3 to back 4, and, you know, everybody looks at this Arsenal team and you give your opinion and what you think, okay? It's all done in perspective. But, you know, we're going away to Swansea tonight. They've had a decent little run recently. They've beaten Liverpool. Why don't we just leave them come at us a little bit? You know, why don't we just say, okay, it's a shit night, yeah. The pitch is heavy, it's raining. I'll tell you what, lads, let's not go balls out at you. Let's be tight. Let's leave them come at us. Let's turn them over and let's counterattack them. But we don't seem to do that. We don't mix it up, do we? You know, it's always a thing of with Arsene Wenger, he believes in his system of, let the players go out and express themselves. But we just lacked ideas tonight. We lacked ideas then. Here's a question. Oh, was that? Sorry. I do apologize, listeners.
But that makes a good point. It says maybe they're staying up till 4 a.m. in the hotel playing Call of Duty in the hotel rooms.
I don't know. I don't. I do not. Isn't it? Yeah, you know. Somebody asked Lacazette or Aubameyang. Lacazette, how long do you see Lacazette staying at the club?
Oh, well, the club love a boo boy, and now Coquelin's gone. And Walcott's gone, and the Ox have gone. They're the ones that are getting the grief. There's always going to be someone who's going to get the grief. I mean, I think this season, what's he got? Seven or nine goals? It's one or the other.
Nine.
He's still our top goal scorer now that Giroud's left. Which is going to leave. Giroud is going to catch him up. And with Giroud only getting 15 minutes, I don't think they'll be able to cut their losses on it, because we were the only team, apart from Atletico Madrid, that are in for him, apparently. Not that I know anything. And Atletico Madrid didn't buy him because they were on a transfer ban. That's why they didn't get Costa until the January transfer window. And now they've got Costa, they've got Griezmann, and they've got Torres. They're not going to need another striker. And there was no one else in for him. So, I'm just reading some of the comments in the box. People aren't happy. I don't know how long he's going to stay, but he's going to be a couple of seasons, maybe three seasons, because if the worst will be then another Premier League team. But what do we pay for him? 45 million quid? And he's on a fair old whack wages-wise. No one else will want him. I mean, I'm perfectly happy to let him carry on trying.
Yeah, to be fair, it's early days for him. And, you know, he's worked hard. I think he's frustrated. And, you know, I think he's very frustrated at the moment, the lack of support he's getting up top. But again, you know, I'm not sure. You know, this is a dual 10 roles behind him with them. You know, you've got Ozil, you've got Iwobi. You know, with Ramsey coming into that tonight, that got awfully... we got in the way of each other quite a lot of the time. You know, we tried this intricate passing at times, which in this weather, it's never going to work. What are we thinking? What is Ramsey thinking? What is Ozil thinking? What is Iwobi thinking? What are these guys
thinking? When Bellerin had the ball, and Bellerin was going down the right-hand side in the second half, and then he got the ball, and he was about to pass it, and it was like Swansea, then it was Ramsey, then it was Swansea, then it was Lacazette, then it was Swansea, then it was Mkhitaryan, then it was Swansea, and then it was another one. I'm thinking, unless you think he's going to thread the ball in and out every single one of you, you can't all be in a complete straight line. How's he going to do anything? I know they didn't want to be offside. But some of them needs to drop deep and then give the ball to them and then try and pass it off to one of them. But there was no way that you were going to walk through that that Swansea defence. It was a miracle that we got that first goal. I mean, that shook them up a little bit, and then I think they sorted themselves out.
And the one thing that Ramsey normally does, which he didn't do tonight, just really annoyed me. He normally gets ahead of the ball. You know, he was again holding back tonight and you know, being that extra man there, where we didn't actually need the extra man. We needed to be quicker in our passing, and we needed to get in behind the Swansea defence. Right, I do apologise. I'm about to butcher your name, mate, and I'm sorry about this, but Srbor Rasic, I hope I pronounced it correctly.
You told us before.
Yeah, cool. He asks, can we play Chelsea every week?
that's the only way that our performances via the top six are looking half decent, because we keep playing them and they can't beat us. That's the only, other than that, it looks shocking.
Tell me about it. I'm trying to find a question here.
Yeah, I've got one from David Norris, who's someone I've known for years. He's the waffle on Twitter. He says, I don't see what a boomerang is going to do to change the dynamic of the club. Lacazette was lighting up at Lyon, came here, and now he's shit. I don't think David means he's actually. He's at Where's My Waffle? He's an American.
But the difference of boomerang, you've done me.
I win.
Get it. The difference Aubameyang gives... Yeah. But the difference Aubameyang gives you is pace. Lacazette tonight, he looked like he was running in sand. Normally, you know, his first 5 yards are all in the head. That wasn't there tonight. He looks mentally drained. And that's a bit of an issue.
Being a fellow Welshman, how would you play if you were playing against Swansea? Because he's a Cardiff boy. Do you reckon that affected his game? Or do you reckon it's a combination of that and coming back from injury and the weather and the people around him? And it was playing out on the right-hand side a bit more, wasn't he, as well? I don't think that helped.
Danny, Dan, not being funny, Aaron Ramsey's his first full game back, okay, you know, he was awful, the same as everybody else, okay? But the problem he got tonight is, it's all well and good, you can pick out individuals, but as a team, we were dog shit. You know, you can carry one player here, you can carry one player there, okay? But as a team, we didn't click at all. There's still the disconnect between the midfield and the defence and the midfield and the attack, okay? Lauren Koscielny looks like he's shot. Victor had zero influence on the game today. You know what I mean? Xhaka...
I was getting wet and he doesn't like it.
Yeah. Xhaka looked even slower moving the ball on than normal. Individually, we were poor, and as a collective, we were even worse.
Well, Football Einstein makes a good point here. He says Lacazette needs Nabil Fekir, who was the man who got most of his assists for him when he was playing for Lyon. And now that he's left Lyon, he's playing fantastically. He's playing a little bit more further forward.
Oh, yeah, but okay. So to counter that point,
go on.
Yeah, but to counter that point, okay, you can't, you know, we've got Mesut Ozil in this team who apparently is the best 10 in the world.
Well, he's okay, good. So, he tries.
You know, I mean, I'm not a fan of Iwobi. I just think Iwobi's been in poor form recently. Okay, but it seems as though we were ineffective in midfield. We were ineffective in defence. Those dual 10 roles, or whatever you want to call them, we were ineffective there, and we were ineffective up top. It doesn't matter who you put there tonight. You know, when Giroud came on, it didn't work either, did it? Nothing worked tonight.
Discerning Wan Giao says, do you expect a transfer request from a boomerang soon?
Jesus, I don't know what I mean.
You got to laugh at these things. You can't help it. It's not good.
You know, I mean, you know, here we go. Seth Okayo puts in the box. Come on. M10, Meza 10 is the best 10. Is he really? Because, you know, this has been his best season for a couple of seasons for us. And still tonight, totally ineffective. Did he have a lack of support from the referee? Because he did get done a couple of times. But really, you know, he didn't do any, you know, he had the assist for the goal, which is a wonderful cross. But that's it. If you want big money, in the Premier League, you have to deliver. You know,
Cos error rate is increasing, forgets he has no recovery pace, which is true. And plus in that sodden ground, it's not going to be easy. And Taiwo says, yes, right, I'm Nigerian, as he is, but he needs to be sitted. I think we agree with that, Taiwo.
Yeah. I mean, Pranay Mystery asks here, okay, right, is Xhaka Wilshere better than Xhaka Ramsey?
No.
No, it's not. You know, this is the thing. Nothing's changed. You know, everybody goes on about they want their favourite player in this team. You can't think of it like that. You need to think of the unit. And the unit isn't working no matter who you put in there.
I'd rather have I'd have anybody in there rather than Xhaka at the moment. You think he's of Eastern European blood, he'd be used to playing in the cold and the wet. He just looked like he could not be bothered. It's ridiculous. I mean, when a bloke who is there and it's not the first time he's done, he actually just stands there or moves back a little bit and lets someone walk straight past him into the area. I mean, there again, he probably thought if I give away a penalty, then as it's been 23 consecutive penalties we've conceded, that would just be another 24. Sam Dewhurst says, should we hire Philip Neville, Gary Neville or Neville Neville? I think if we hire Neville, unfortunately, we need Derek Okora to give us a hand there. He passed away. But yeah, points.
Oh, that's not good. No. We should hire Neville from our feeders in pet. Will O'Brien asks. Actually, just go to Joe Budder first. Joe Budder states, I can't see Ozil at the Arsenal next season. What's your thoughts on that, Dan?
Well, looking at the amount of money that he's going to want for a wage, if he wants to sign a new contract, I mean, allegedly, what do we know? He's on 140 grand a week, 140, something like that. And that's without bonuses. A player of his caliber, if you see the likes of Sanchez, who can go and earn what, £400,000-£600,000 a week, then he knows he can go to other clubs. We know that Jose quite likes him. Jose isn't a big fan of Mata, You could maybe see Mata leave because Mata hasn't signed a new contract and I think his contract's up and he'll leave on a free. I could see someone like Ozil going in there. And then those two linking up there again, because at times you did see that Sanchez and Ozil did link up really well together. And there's no way that we're going to afford any that kind of wages. I mean, Steve will know better than us. So if you're listening, Steve, how much do you reckon Ozil is going to want next season? I'm thinking it's going to be 250, 300,000. We can't do that. Not if we're still, if we'll be in the Champions League next season. And Steve was telling us yesterday, that's an extra £50 million in revenue we will get in. And then we can start to pay more wages. But I don't think we can afford to keep him. Mkhitaryan could be one of the players to replace him.
Don't mind that. Do you think he's worth that money?
No, I don't think Sanchez is worth $500,000 a week. I don't think Ozil is worth that amount of money. We can't afford. We're no longer a team in that position where we can afford to go and spunk an absolute load of money on players. Like somebody said, if we can't we swap Giroud for Luiz? Well, David Luiz is going to be on best part of 160 grand a week. We're getting rid of Giroud so that we can free up wages so that we can pay for the boomerang. We can't get him in return. Andrew Lane says Ozil will want about 320 grand a week.
You're not worth it to me. You know, I've got to be honest. I actually think he's going to go anyway. Will O'Brien says 4-3-3 is good, but the players playing, it didn't have the same fire Swansea had today. And the quality of football we played couldn't compensate for that. I just don't think we knew what we were doing. I'm not sure what's, you know, the problem is whether we've played two in the middle and three at the back, you know, this has happened before. It doesn't matter what setup we've played. This keeps on happening. It doesn't matter. You can change the players. You know, I'm kind of sick of saying it, but it's deja vu all over again, isn't it?
Steve says we can pay 300,000 for Ozil. It's in the budget, but no. That could be spent on two decent. Not that Ozil isn't decent, but I think he's going to want a big wage for his last big contract, and I don't think he's going to get that with us.
Yeah, it's you know we seem to lack that winning mentality. I'd say we seem to lack that winning mentality. You know, we beat Chelsea, that's fine, but the run before that, we've only beaten Palace. Since we beat Palace the last time, you know we're not. If you look at our league position, we're off top. We're 5 points off top four. And I know they got a game in hand, Tottenham, but we're in the League Cup final. We're still in the Europa League. It's not quite a crisis, but it's heading that way, isn't it?
Yeah, people are saying here, someone said, can Ozil play defensive midfield or centre-back? I don't think, unfortunately, that he can. Steve has put, we have the wages for Ozil and Ramsey and a few signings next year.
Okay, well, he'll know more with that. But, yeah, I mean, this is Kev O'Gunner puts in, sorry to pick on Iwobi, I do apologise, but just like the comment, Iwobi's as effective as I am after 8 pints.
Probably more sturdy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Oh, bear with me a second.
Our Steve has put we need a centre back, a goalkeeper, and a CDM. We all know that's what we need because if Dave the Bin Man has to go in there with his no net, we're knackered. We don't have a set of defensive midfielder at the club at the moment. We don't have any.
Yeah. TL Cock. The joke is we can't even play Aubameyang in the Europa League, our best chance of Champions League. Do you see that as an issue? I mean, if we look at the Europa League in detail now, okay, you know, we've got Östersund's next step.
Well done on saying that because I wasn't going to try.
Yeah, touch wood that, you know, that should be a formality. You know, you'd spank them at home. You know, you go through the motions away from home.
Season's over.
But coming down,
they've not played a game for 2 months.
Yeah, but in reality, we play two to three decent teams in the Europa League, yeah?
Yeah.
And we're playing, you know, two of those games will be over two legs, and then one's the final if we get there. It's got to be our best chance of getting the Champions League, hasn't it?
Yes, it could be our best chance, but we've got no chance. I don't see us doing it because we will just capitulate like we always do. We always fall apart. And it's getting worse by the season. I mean, who'd have thought a couple of years ago that we'd be in the position we are now, struggling to get sixth in the league, out of the Champions League, which we've been in for like 20 odd years in a row. Not one of those champions and Europa League games did we perform that well. And I'm just looking here. Some of the teams that are in the Europa League with us, not necessarily, we're not playing them at the moment. We've got Marseille, Real Sociedad, and they've just sold one of their players. Dortmund, Nice, they've got Balotelli out front. We've got the Russian team, like Spartak Moscow, and Lyon, Lazio.
Bear with me a second. Russell Wilkinson asks, and I want you to answer this. I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
At what point do we sacrifice the league for the Europa League?
I think we talk really about have. It. Yeah, we're not going to. Has he decided to go? Oh, he has actually. He's gone away. He's left me on my own. I could do anything now, couldn't I? I could make duck noises for an hour. Well, we're sixth in the league. We're 8 points ahead of Leicester, but Leicester have a game in hand on us. Spurs have got a game in hand on us, and they're 3 points ahead of us, and they're playing much better football than what we are. No, I don't think that we've got a chance in the league. What is it, people? Is it top six? I mean, if you get in the top six, you're going to get in the Europa League. I know you're about 7 seconds behind. Steve's put Osterhams will be minus 10 and we can't beat Swansea in the rain. Oh, that is sadly true. 09. Is it time for the Nigerian tycoon dirty oil money? Well, if you can't beat them, you might as well join them. Jace, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Wash your hands.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was saying is, I think the lowest place we can get into the Europa League is sixth, isn't it? Depending on what teams from other countries qualify in other competitions.
Yeah, no. But what point do we stop concentrating on the Premier League this season?
Well, now. Because we're 8 points, 8 points clear of Leicester, like I was just saying, and they've got a game in hand on us. And they've had pretty bad form the last six games, 1-2, drawn 2, lost 2.
Yeah.
And they've only got a goal difference of plus 4 compared to our plus 12. So that's worth another point. Burnley were battling up for it, but Burnley are falling off a cliff. They've lost 4 and drawn 2 from their last six. Everton, well, they've lost 3 and drawn 3 of their last six. So we've got no real competition behind us, but it's just a gap between us and the team above. So in the table I'm looking at, only fifth place is guaranteed the Europa League. So maybe sixth place.
But let's be honest, okay, you know, if you know, you look at Liverpool, Chelsea, the scum, they're all similar to us. They will have a ricket in them down the line as well. I don't think you can just ignore the Premier League. I think you've got to go for it, you know. But you know, you're going to have to be your best team out later in the competition, aren't you?
Depends if the club realise that we have to have Champions League football next season. And Man United did it last season, and they went all out for it. And they won the final. But like I was giving you that list of teams. We've got Atalanta and AC Milan and Sporting Lisbon and Red Bull Leipzig. They're not as good as they were, but they're still a damn fine team. Villarreal, Atletico Madrid, Lazio. I don't think we stand a chance at all. We're not going to do it in either. I think we're going to struggle to get it in the Europa League via the Premier League, and we're definitely not going to win the Champions League. I don't care how much money they spend, because we've got too many people, creative people, and too many people who apparently score goals, and we've got no one at the back to stop them letting goals in. And then the players that we needed to keep that we haven't got there, and he doesn't trust the young players like Bella, like Chambers and Big Bob Holding. He doesn't seem to trust them. And so playing games like this and Crystal Palace, games that normally Cos would go, you don't have to play this game, have a week off.
Look, if he's got a contract with the club, he needs to play. And the sad thing is, you know, none of them are at the races. It's sad. We will. By the way, I'm making a prediction here and now, listeners. You can hold me to this. We will win the Europa League.
I'll bet you.
Okay. Don't have to bet me anything. I'm telling you, we're going to win it. Okay. Thomas from Norway asks, Usmanov in?
Well, there's... How do you answer a question like that? Stan isn't going to sell his shares. Steve should do a podcast and all the stuff that Steve was telling us in the group just on what's going on with all of that lot. No, I don't think he's going to get
Bear with me a second. Toffee20 just puts in the box. Hey, everyone. Arsenal just lost 3-1 to Swansea. Shut up. You fucking twat, Toffee20. Fuck off.
Silbo agrees with you. He says, over two legs, we can do it. Squires Stew for you says, if we win the Europa League, do you keep Wenger? Oh, yeah, that's a question, isn't it? Do you? I wouldn't.
I don't know what's happening there. I mean, you know, we've heard a lot of talk recently. I just, you know, you look at what's happening with Gazidis and Aubameyang at the moment, where it's a little bit of they're happy to be photographed out there. You know, this is my deal. I'm in charge now. Well, that's fine, okay. But you know, thanks for the shout. Thanks, mate, for the shout out. Well done, Toffee 20. That's the best way to come back. I like that. You know, if you're looking at this at the moment, I think we're rudderless at the top because obviously there's something between Gazidis and Wenger. And I think, you know, it's gone the right way through the club. And I'm looking at these players at the moment and I just wonder what the hell is going to happen.
There's a power struggle going on. There's been furniture moved around upstairs. There's been stuff done around downstairs. Apparently, the people who know say it's common knowledge that Wenger has nothing to do with most of these deals that are going on.
Well, you know, but if you know, then Gazidis needs to get it done, doesn't he? You know, to have legitimacy, he needs to get it done.
Well, he doesn't. He'll have you on his back.
Oh, I hate him. I'm not a fan of him. I'm sorry. If you've been there 10 years, you should have influenced something by now, okay? And the excuse of, oh, Arsene won't let him, I don't buy that, okay? I don't hate him, sorry, that's a harsh word. But, you know, let's hope, you know, sounds contrary to my belief.
A Mislintat tax no, that's government.
let's hope contrary to my to what I think, that... Yeah. He can actually grab the club by the reins and give it some direction and, you know, get us moving forward. Here we go. Serbo asks again, who comes in to replace Arsene Wenger when he finally goes? Your thoughts, Dan?
Carlo Ancelotti. He's a mercenary. And it's, oh, my echo is going to go off. Oh, got away with that. He may be seen as a mercenary, but he'll come in and he'll just give him a load of money. But I think that's why so many players have gone and players are coming in, players that we wouldn't have thought that are Wenger-style player signings. I'd like to see him come in because no matter who comes in, we can't have someone like Eddie Howe come in because whoever comes in is just going to get the first time we concede a goal, the first game we lose, the first time we get a 0-0 away to a shit team. The people are going to be going all over social media and all over the papers. And, oh, he's ruined. It's a failure. Get him out. Need a different manager. But you need to get someone like Carlo in who's proven and who isn't going to be taken down with all the people saying, that's it, it's not good enough. We want change already. Because, you know, it's going to be an absolute shitstorm. Every single big manager. You look at even when George Graham left and we got Bruce Rioch in. He only lasted one season. They hoofed him out the door. So we're either going to get someone in who knows they're going to get kicked out after a season and then like with the Moyes syndrome, or we're going to get someone in like Carlo who isn't going to give a damn and is just going to use his experience to try and help us win stuff or compete. He isn't going to come in with any kind of, oh, I want Arsenal to do really well. He's going to come in and go, pay me a fortune, give me a fortune, and I'll turn the club around for a couple of seasons and then I'm off somewhere else to probably China to earn an absolute fortune. But with the amount of money that Wenger's getting paid, we should theoretically be able to hire any manager in world football. But it's just the transfer kitty that they want. But Steve says we've got money for next season. So
yeah, it'll be in the budget, won't it? I mean, Dave Pledge just says Barry Fry.
Oh, I've met Barry Fry twice. What a legend of a man he is.
Every time. Every time.
Time to go is put three wins away. Not sure you can win the Europa League with that kind of form. That's a good point.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, but the thing is, you know, up until the final, it's two legs. So, you know, you win your home games well enough and you never know. I don't know who's going to replace Arsene. I've got no idea who they would go to. Because I can't remember who said it. I look at Ancelotti and he just takes teams onwards. He doesn't really change the way they play. You know, it's not so much transition management. It's, you know, their teams are set up, they're ready to go, and he improves them. I'm not sure. You know, these are Arsene's players. More than a couple short for what we need to challenge the title. I don't know who you would bring in to take this forward. People are saying Nagelsmann. You know,
door to be manager.
Jadim's had a shout out there. I'm not sure. I got to be honest with you. It's
Perez.
Yeah, I know it's not Perez, but it's, you know,
if we're going long term, then a lot of people have been saying the Yogi Love, and then we've been linked. Been a lot of link with Tommy Tickles, the ex Dortmund manager. He's still unemployed. He was a he was apparently pretty good.
Bear with me a second. Tommy Tickles didn't do much with Dortmund, did he? Lovely attacking football, but defensively worse than we are now.
I don't know. Gideon says Patrick Vieira, currently at New York City.
Sefo says Sarri. I don't know. Let's move on. Let's move on from that one.
Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers did well for Liverpool, didn't he?
Not really. He didn't win fuck all. You know, this is the thing, okay? We've won 3 FA Cups in the last 5 years, whatever it is. You know, I know it's not, we've not been great in the league, but, you know, we're in a difficult situation. We're not quite crisis, but we're not moving forward.
We've hit the iceberg. We're not just quite going down yet. Ali D says, Kroenke just bought more shares last week. Yeah, I think he bought 7 for $22,000 each. Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. No. He's not going. Kronk's not going anywhere, is he? You know, that's really, AFC come.
3-2-1. Can't do that. I've got fat fingers. I cause a fire. Bergkamp? No, he's not managing material.
Nah, he can't fly, you know. Zidane would mess at stay. Oh, God, who knows? You know, it's really. It's at that point, isn't it? Right. Well, let's start to wrap this up. Anybody got any different questions? Come on. Get on with it.
A 7-second gap. here we go. Squires for you. What type of illness injury does a boomerang have to fake to fail his medical tomorrow? I've got scurvy. Chris, I can't sign. I've got to go back home. I've left the gas on. Sorry. Bye.
I think he's gonna have to fake Alzheimer's, to be honest with you. John Welsh is in the box. Not the first time you've been in the box, is it, John? Stephen Edwards is there. Here we go. Here's a good shout. Luis Enrique. I like Luis Enrique. I loved him as a player, and I think, you know, he's. I think he did well at Barca. I think, you know, Roma was just a bit too big of a project for him. But I think he can think. Right, okay, Sefo Kaya. Right, here's a question I will answer. How do you feel about Piers Morgan now?
Hey, Sefo? Don't get us banned. No swearing and no libeling. Do you like him, yes or no?
Sefo, I think Piers Morgan is the scum of the earth.
Don't. You've got yourself banned. Don't get us banned.
He's a bottom feeder.
I like him.
And the best place he could stay is at the bottom of a swamp.
I think he's funny. I like the way he annoys people. So there you go. With the solicitors looking, we were 50-50.
Yeah, but it's one of those. Go back to Luis Enrique here. I think it's the style of football he tries to play. You know, and that's the thing I like. I know, you know, we're at Barcelona, you get all those wonderful players, etc. But I think, you know, he looks at the best way to get the maximum out of our players. And I think that he'd do well there. You know, that would be nice to see.
We've got someone from Norway in the box, Thomas from Norway. How's Paul Iverson doing? We'd be putting from IFK Start. Just wonder what he's up to. He needs to...
Okay, enough of that. Wait, right, let's drop this up.
Right back.
Paul Iverson.
Yeah.
Did he come? Does he still come with a brown envelope?
I think he was one of the brown envelope brigade, allegedly. Entertainment purposes.
Him and Johnny Jensen.
Hey.
Allegedly. Here we go. Kelly Mars in the box. Gideon Watter. Higher Primate. Kenny Baker. Steve KK. AFC Cam. Sacking Sarge. Andy Spuznets, what do you think? Do you think Sanchez is a loss today? Not really. I think we're lost with him. Shelley, Frank Gunner's there. Guys, right. I can't tell you how painful it's been to do this tonight. It's been horrible. Actually, the chat box been epic.
It has.
So well done.
Brilliant as always. And you've been your usual good bad cop, and I've been the good cop.
Oh, well, I don't have a bad cop or good cop. Guys, if you can give us a thumbs up, we'd really, really appreciate it. You know, the nights like this, it's not fun to do this. It is fun to speak to you guys because you're all superb, apart from a couple of twats that come in there. I'd like to say thank you to Ellis, but he couldn't even be asked to have decent internet. So, Ellis, from me to you, you're a prick. Okay, sort your internet out.
Go to at Ellis MEHL and hashtag him, hashtag Ellis out. That's all we need you to do.
Yeah, come on, guys. There's 426 of you watching. Either give us a thumbs down or a thumbs up, one or the other. Come on, you know, do a Welshman a favor,
Stephen. Crying out loud,
yeah, Ellis out, Carpenter out. Anthony 10, Sampaoli. Ooh, interesting.
If we get 1,000 thumbs up, then we'll sacrifice Chris live on the next show.
Oh, come on. I've got a pair of pliers to do that with.
Oh, Bill. Bless you. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Josh Jarvis has just given it to the Jack Army. Thanks, Josh. You rub it in. I've got all the boys have been texting me. I've got texts everywhere. I'm not happy. Honest, I don't believe it. Dan, thank you ever so much. You've been superb, mate.
Thank you very much. And people, he does ask if he can be horrible to me before the show starts, and then he apologises after. So
I never do that. I never ask. I tell you what, we've got 101 thumbs up. That's superb.
That is.
Yeah. Guys, you've been brilliant. Dan, switch this stuff off. I'm off to have a cry.
I'm off to do edit this, put it on iTunes, and edit the Raffy Honig style one, put that on iTunes. I might get some dinner by about 2 a.m. if I'm lucky.
Nice.
People.
Oh, I tell you what. Take care, guys. All the best.